An interview with Ed White, a journalist for the Western Producer.
Hi, Ed. I'm very glad to meet you today. Welcome to the Correspondence School and to the students of the English Language Arts B10 course.
Thanks for having me in.
Many people look forward to reading your feature stories and news articles in the Western Producer. What do you find the most enjoyable about being a journalist?
I like being able to, I guess, go out, you know, into the world, into all sorts of different situations every week and learn about all sorts of different things, different areas, and different types of people, and then to be able to tell 100,000 people a week all about it. I like being able to, you know, tell stories about the world.
When did your interest in nonfiction writing or journalistic writing begin?
When I was a kid in grade 3, my family went to England for a couple of months, and I had to miss some school, so my grade 3 teacher asked me to do diaries while I was away as a class assignment. And every day I started writing out what I'd done, and the diaries became quite enormous because I found, even as a kid, I liked writing about what I'd done and what I'd seen and what I thought about it. So I guess it started with diaries, just diaries I've always kept. And from there, I guess I've just kept it up. I've always enjoyed writing, and I love reading. I love reading newspapers and magazines. And so I guess the two kind of naturally went together.
It sounds like you had a school experience that prompted some interest in journalistic recording and writing. Do you have other school experiences where you can remember at that very moment that you wanted to become a journalist?
Well, all through high school, I had no clue of what I would do in my work life. When I got out, I really couldn't think of what I wanted to do or really what I'd be good at. And so I sort of stumbled into university studying all sorts of different things that I found interesting. And I took an arts degree, so I got to study literature and history and geography and geology, things that I was fascinated in. It took me until about the middle of my degree in university to figure out that maybe journalism was an area that I should think of going into, because I was interested in a lot of different areas, and in journalism you're always covering something new and different. And so it actually fit the bill for me. But I didn't actually come on the idea myself to go into journalism. It was something my mother was always suggesting to me as something she thought I'd be interested in. I guess in the end I sort of took it seriously and started looking and going to a journalism school.
Could you tell me a little bit about your background, your training, and school experience?
Well, after high school, I went to the University of Regina, and I got a degree in history, and I studied quite a lot of English, too. But after that, I applied to a number of journalism schools, and I got into one at the University of Western Ontario, which was a one-year program. And because it was after a BA, it was a master's degree program, and there we learned the basics of reporting, and we put out a weekly newspaper. And for a year, I was out looking for jobs as a reporter.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had a lot of encouragement and support when you were a youngster, and that your experience then led you into more formal training. What are the journalist's tools? When you were a boy, you used just a diary and a pencil or a pen. What are your tools today?
I think you need good eyes and ears, and you have to be able to see what's going on around you. I think you have to be able to go somewhere, meet people, and listen to them and observe them and get a sense of what they're doing. You're really observing things and then telling other people what you've seen so that they can understand it, because people rely on reporters to go to places they can't go. But I think, really, you've got to have a lot of curiosity, because you have to, if you want to be able to tell a story and explain something to someone, I think you have to be interested in it yourself. And so if you're a reporter, I think if you aren't curious, if you don't want to know, you're not going to be able to do your job very well. And then I think for curious people, being a reporter is a great job, because it's an excuse to learn new things and go new places and meet different types of people every day. And so as long as you like telling stories and being curious, I think you've got what it takes to be any kind of a journalist.
So you're actually telling stories about real things, real people.
Yeah, and you have to make, I think, reality interesting to people. It isn't a fiction where you can invent the kinds of details that people would like to believe. You you have to go out and find true stories and make those stories interesting to people. And it's basically finding real, true stories that other people would find interesting and care about.
Finding the heart in the story.
Yeah, and letting the reader understand someone else's life and reality.
Would you share with us the most valuable or the most rewarding article or two that you have written for the Western Producer?
Well, last year I did a series about Indian land claims and a very complicated subject of treaty land entitlement, which is, I mean, very complex. And it was very political. And our newspaper, most newspapers, always did a lot of stories about the politics. But I thought that there hadn't been very much done about the farmers and the Indian people who were living side by side out in rural areas who had to actually work with these new agreements where people were taking over different parts of land. And the real people who were out there trying to find ways to, I guess, right historical wrongs where some of the Indian bands had never received land that they were supposed to receive in the treaties. And the farmers and the bands were trying to find ways to, I guess, resolve these 100-year-old problems and still stay neighbors and friends, which is not a very easy thing to do. And a lot of stories like that tend to have one side, you know, loud people on one side yelling at loud people on the other side, and it's always covered in terms of conflict and anger. But what I believed and what I found to be true was that there are a lot of quieter people in the middle who are trying to resolve these kind of problems and learn how to live together and work together and to stay friends, and for some people to become friends for the first time. And I was glad with the stories I was able to, you know, find these kind of people, because I think other quiet people who are working to try to make things better often find in the news media that they don't see many other people who are like them. They mainly see the angry people who are denouncing each other.
That's quite a skill, to be able to see what's going on in the middle, getting right into the core of the issue.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the people who don't always go and stand up at meetings and make angry comments about each other, but the people who probably just try to, you know, work out their problems neighbor to neighbor. And that's, I think, like most people and most of our readers are not people who are very loud or very aggressive, but they're really trying to find ways to resolve problems where they live, but not in a way that doesn't set people against each other. And I thought that was an important story that often doesn't get told, but really should be told. And I think people need to feel that they're not the only people who are trying to solve problems, but that there are other people elsewhere trying to do the same thing.
Your writing has a respect for community and for building community.
Yeah, and to not just find conflict, but to find the sort of the peacemaker type people who are there.
And you wrote a series of three articles about this story?
Well, it was six articles over 3 weeks, and each week had a focus on one situation where there were white farmers in one area and an Indian band who were negotiating how the band and the Indian people could take over some of the land around there that they should have had, but to try to find a way in which the band could get more land without having to drive people who were on the land off of it. And each week I looked at a different situation and found how they had been able to find a way to do it where most people were able to accept the changes without the local society breaking down into too much conflict and anger. And I found one situation where things had worked out about as well as possible, and one where things had gone quite badly and there was a lot of resentment. But it wasn't between the band and the farmers, but because of some actions of the government, which had created a lot of tension between the Indian band and the local farmers. And then in the third community, I found that they were heading towards negotiations, and they were hopeful that they would work out well, but they just weren't sure how it was going to go because it was a very tense situation. And then I did side stories that looked at other aspects of it on a more how do you solve these problems focus.
Is there an article that you have written at any time in your journalism experience when you look back that was most difficult or most challenging? And how did you solve the problems that you were experiencing as you were doing the work?
The most difficult situation I think I ever had as a reporter was right after I got out of journalism school. I was still getting used to that as a reporter you walk into the middle of people's lives every week. And it's often, if you're writing a feature, you're walking right into their personal space, into their home itself, and speaking to them, but also observing them, and then having to write for thousands of people what you saw. And that's okay if everything's happy, but some stories aren't about happy things. And my editor assigned me to write a feature profile about an old retired couple in which the wife had a very bad case of Alzheimer's disease. And the story was focusing on her husband, who was an old man who was trying to look after her because she needed a lot of taking care of. So it was quite a stressful life he was living. Plus, it was emotionally very draining for the man because his wife of, it was, I think, more than 50 years, didn't even recognize him anymore, didn't know who he was, and wouldn't let him sleep in the same room with her. He was having to spend all of his day making sure she was okay, because she would often wander off into the woods and get lost. And she almost died once because of that. So he's physically tired because of just having to always be watching her. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think, emotionally exhausted because his own wife didn't know who he was. And she'd become very much like a child holding a baby doll on the couch. And I had to interview him about this very touchy and upsetting subject, and his wife was sitting beside him and was, you know, completely oblivious to us. He was very exhausted and upset, and it was just very, very sad situation to be there. And then when I got back to the office, I had to somehow write a story about this and about these people's, the pain and the situation they were in. And it was a very upsetting situation. It was upsetting to try to write about it for thousands of other people because it was a very painful situation. And I guess the way I learned to deal with it was that maybe I was quite upset, and realizing maybe that the upset I was feeling was maybe true to what the situation was, that upset was actually an important part of the story, and that if I hadn't been upset, I probably wouldn't have understood the situation or really felt, you know, the situation that this man was trapped in. And I think that helped the story in a way because I think the feeling came across.
Did you get response from your readers about that story?
Yeah, I had some letters from people who had people with Alzheimer's in their families who had said that they felt that it really summed up just the situation of people who are trying to look after relatives and are finding the toll it's taking on them and just how hard it is for people to deal with loved ones who were suffering from a terrible disease. I was glad to see that people hadn't felt I misrepresented the situation or not gotten it right. And I was glad to see that even though it was upsetting to me, it meant something to other people. It helped them understand the situation themselves.
I think it's very important that you had confidence in your own feelings and your own reaction to the pain and to the sensitivity of the issue and responsibility to your readers as well.
I didn't actually trust my feelings or my ability to write the story for a day or two. I couldn't write it because I just found it too excruciating. Felt really awful about writing it. But that was when, after a couple of days of thinking that I can't write this story, to realize that, well, maybe that is the feeling behind the story.
That's right. What advice would you give to a beginning journalist?
I'd say read and write. You know, read a lot of newspapers. Mm-hmm. And magazines. That's where all the ideas are. I mean, knowing how to write a news story, I think, doesn't come from being told how to write it, but reading hundreds of news stories and finding, if you look for magazine articles that you really enjoyed reading, I'd say to anyone who wants to write things like magazine articles, newspaper articles, yeah, reread it and see why you liked it. What was it? Why was it such a good article? What did they do? And then I think the best thing anyone can do to improve their own writing and to make writing simple, not a difficult thing, is to keep diaries. just every day describe your own experiences or your own thoughts, your own opinions about things. If you just do it in your private life, it becomes much easier to do it if you ever do decide to follow it as a career.
Very important advice. Ed, thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your respect for the journalism process with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.